Hi, this is Sim Parrott, Cycling Shorts, with Ned Bolton. Ned, what's it like to be the UK face of cycling these days?
That's Gary Imlach. You've got to ask Gary Imlach that question. No, I mean, I have loved every second over the past few years getting to know the British scene as well. I mean, my introduction to cycling was very much the Tour de France, which I started doing in 2003, and it wasn't until 2008 that ITV got the rights to the Tour of Britain and the Tour Series and all that kind of thing. And that's when I started, for the first time, delving into this kind of strange and wonderful world of British cycling, which is, and the local domestic scene, which is, again, a huge, steep learning curve and full of mystery and wonder and strange people.
And how's it for you, having followed the Tour, having followed the Series, and the breaking news or the news that's come out with Armstrong and the whole drug scene? What's your personal opinion, your personal feelings about what's happened?
I have now, just last few days, I've reached kind of saturation on it, and for the first time I've felt utterly tired of it. I think he has done enormous damage. And it strikes me, I'm slightly worried, because it takes me back to the... It reminds me slightly of the credit crunch in 2008 when there was rumours of trouble, and then all of a sudden it went bang and Lehman Brothers went bust. And everyone thought, hell, that's extraordinary. That's the low point. How are we going to recover from that? But you know what? It wasn't the low point, because for the next 2 or 3 years, we had to live with the fact that every bank was toxic. And I can see the same thing happening now in cycling, that Armstrong was really just the opening salvo, and... I'm being called to work. Can we go again in a couple of minutes?
No problem. Thanks, Ned. Yeah. Ned, thanks for coming back. Just before the break, we were chatting about the credit crunch and the...
Making sense. I don't know if I was making sense.
You were making utter sense, because where the... People have commented and said cycling should now be chucked out of the Olympics. It should be removed, it should be dead, it should be gone.
I can see where they're coming from. I mean, I can see where they're coming from, but, you know, let's not get sidetracked by what's going on in other sports. I mean, it's very easy for cycling fans to feel kind of aggrieved, because we're the ones copping the flak, and yet, you know, obviously cycling is doing more to confront its own demons than any other sport. Let's not bother what's happening in tennis and football, and that's their problem. Let's concentrate on what we're doing. I can see where that desire to give cycling a good slap and a kick up the arse is coming from. And if people want to knock it out of the Olympics for one cycle, I can see the motivation for that. I'm not sure how much it would achieve, because I'm not sure how much correlation there is between the Olympic scene and the week-in, week-out grind of the continental pro scene. I mean, I think the two things are very different. But what it might do, you know, is it might just act as a catalyst in this process that is going to ultimately be the salvation of cycling, which is the corporations, the sponsors, the money men, because it's all down to money, doping, in the end, that the will has to be there for them to be seen to be whiter than white and to be involved in a clean sport. And the more sort of blue-chip Western corporations, I have to say, like Sky and Garmin and things like that, that rely on a strong PR image, get involved, I think the more you'll see the drive towards a cleaner sport filter down through the peloton, and ultimately it has to become the norm. Because just as doping was the norm and anyone who stepped outside that was the kind of odd one out, so you've got to flip that round, and that has to become a virtuous circle, and money and salaries and motivation in that regard is going to be the only thing that will actually spin that particular disc around on it.
No, I think I agree with you, because I look at you know, Barney Rees and the team that he's been running, and his background and knowledge to try and defeat that use of doping within his team, and he's fessed up that he's doped, in the same way that Dave Miller is aiming to try and use his knowledge.
Yeah, and it's tricky, isn't it? Because, I mean, Sky are learning a very hard lesson now. They were, I think, probably, if they sat back and thought about themselves, they were a little naive to launch in 2009, was it? Or 2010, I can't remember now. In 2009, with that whole kind of whiter than white aspect. They hired 80 members of staff, right? Riders and non-riding staff. Now, one of them was going to be involved somehow, and not just one, probably a dozen, you know, because it's unrealistic to expect anything else. And to go back to the credit crunch kind of metaphor, if you wanted to found a bank in 2010 and make that whiter than white and hire all your staff who had no association with any kind of toxic debt, that wouldn't work either. And so, if you like, the Rees model, the Miller model, the Vorters model, another doper, that is, and being slightly more kind of confronting the problems with a bit more reality is probably a more sensible gradation of the way forward than Sky's kind of blanket approach, because they're in a bind now. They're asking all their staff to sign this kind of document saying, I'm clean. I've always been clean. I've never had any association with doping. And frankly, anyone who can't sign that because of their conscience is kicked out. Now, there is a side to that which simply encourages lying. You know, and that is, I understand why they're doing it, and I understand the motivation behind it, but the actual net effect is perhaps not the one that they desired. So, you know, I'm not sure that they're going about cracking this nut in a particularly subtle or clever way at the moment.
Yeah, it was something I was thinking of, having read Breaking the Chain by Voigt, and read some of the things that pretty much every soigneur has been involved with throughout the whole history of cycling, be it with past French greats.
Jens Voigt.
No, I'm talking about Willy Voigt, Breaking the Chain. His book, it's an awesome read. And actually, partway through the book, he talks about how he could get his riders through a doping check if there was a random check, particularly on EPO, in that they infused saline straight into the blood and that dropped the hemocrit, and it took 20 minutes. Strangely enough, Lance Armstrong spent 30 minutes in a shower with an out of competition test. So as soon as I read the book, I was beginning to think there's no smoke without fire.
Well, I mean, you know, there probably isn't. There probably isn't. We have to be extremely vigilant. And also, I think, you know, and I'm absolutely upfront in my own analysis of my own performance over the last 10 years. I think that probably all of us who reported on the Armstrong years in our various different ways and capacities probably need to take a long, hard look at ourselves, because we kind of knew from 2004 onwards what was going on. The problem was what we lacked, and what what Kimmage and Walsh chased was the hard facts. And, you know, hats off to them for establishing those facts and getting those key testimonies from Betsy Andrew and from Emma O'Reilly. The rest of us, we kind of knew, but we didn't know enough, and we should have done more. You know,
yep.
All the way again, I have to admit.
Okay, brilliant, Ned. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for taking time out to talk to Cycling Shorts. It's been wonderful listening to you.
It's a pleasure, and I'm going to listen to Cycling Shorts at every available opportunity and in every circumstance. When I'm on the toilet, when I'm riding the bus to work, and when I'm have I said on the toilet?
Yeah, you did say on the toilet.
Mostly on the toilet. Mostly when I'm on the toilet.
Excellent. Thanks.